knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot today, and let's just get this out of the way. This is about my wife, but this is not about any sort of marriage-related or love-based or even partnership-based thing.
Everybody out there, if
right?
you want to send in a wife guy sting,
no, here's
shoot
what's
it over
great.
To Jordan.
Here's what's great, right? I never have to shovel snow.
Oh,
in Chicago, it just poured inches upon inches of snow.
It did. It was they said it was going to be about 10. I'm not sure
right.
if it got there, but it was a lot.
It was a lot. And my wife always shovels the snow. And it's not in like a she likes to shovel snow, but we could, because we're partners, we could like, you know, I could give her a thing. She fucking loves shoveling snow. It is a zone. It is Michael Jordan's flu game. Every time she goes out and shovels snow, she's gone. She's just in the zone. Then the snow's gone. It's incredible.
I can relate to that. I think certain chores, people just gravitate towards them. Like, I remember I loved mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
I would. My parents did pay me to do it.
Sure.
But I also, I would have done it for free.
Yeah.
There's something fun about it.
Yeah, no.
I wish I had a lawn to mow.
It is totally that. It is. If I tried to go shovel snow, she would physically attack me and take the shovel away from me. She said about this. She was like, I was really in my shovel. That's when you're in it, man.
Yeah.
Whenever you're not even using words, you're removing words to just be in the thing.
I was in the shovel zone.
She was in the shovel, and it's like, man, you do it. So it's amazing. It's amazing for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
Happy for you.
Yeah. What's your bright spot?
So, Jordan, today we're recording this still in November.
Yes.
But this episode's coming out on December 1st.
It is the beginning.
And that means one thing and one thing only.
Everything dairy. Cheese. Milk, cream, yogurt, butter. What do you think that does to Wisconsin?
It's time for the cheese advent calendar to begin. Thank you. That was a drop that came from the cheese board soundboard, which was sent to us by Alma. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I believe there's a nickname here, the garlic honey and yammy mug cozy and crocheted mini tyranny crusher wonk, sent over a interactive soundboard. So that's a great place to start.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of cheese-based theme songs.
There
and
will be
stings.
Some songs. There will be some songs.
Yeah.
Believe me, there were some songs and there will be some songs.
So it is time to engage in advent calendaring.
Excellent.
So we got day number one here. This is the Aldi. I'm not supposed to shout them out.
This is the unnamed grocery store that is helpful in a lot of different ways. Let's take a look at this. We've got little squares. He is opening the cheese. What kind of cheese does it smell like?
I will tell you this.
Yeah.
It smells like cheese.
It smells like cheese.
I actually saw what it is, so this isn't going to be a huge surprise, but
okay.
let's take it in.
Yeah? Is it a Gruyere? Sorry, I was just feeling the intense fucking anticipation of the moment. I lost it. I swear to you, I was just staring at you take bites of that cheese and it roll around in your mouth, and I was absorbed in the motion.
It was fucking unbelievable.
It was crazy.
You're a performer.
No,
you're used to filling time and vamping.
I am a man who watches cheese spin around in a mouth. Today, that's what happened.
You have hosted uncountable comedy shows that, like, you know how to keep momentum going.
I know.
Here you are with a mic in front of you. You saw me take a bite of cheese and you were just like,
You know what it is? Hmm. You know what it is? I can't eat cheese, right? I never eat cheese.
But you also hate it.
I'm just watching you in amazement as you took a bite. You just took a bite.
Love it.
And it spun around in your mouth. What kind of cheese
was it? What do you think
it?
My mouth is like a dryer?
I believe like it's more like a cement mixer. Okay. Like as you're moving, it just spins around.
That was a truffle cheddar.
All right.
Good. Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
Tastes like a cheddar.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like the best advent calendar.
It's not. It didn't blow my mind like a truffle is supposed to, right? It's supposed to be like this really refined,
sure,
high class thing.
What is truffle? Boy, truffle is more than one thing, right?
No.
There are truffles.
Yeah.
But then there's truffle. And
wow.
Truffle is not necessarily truffles.
Wow.
Truffle's a mushroom.
Yeah.
But truffles can be a chocolate.
Right, it's a type of chocolate. Like it's a form of chocolate.
It's a mushroom chocolate?
No.
Oh.
There's a harder outside shell
okay.
and then a softer inside interior. That's a truffle for chocolate.
Is that like a mushroom?
No.
Okay.
Well, if you cook the outside, then the inside's probably softer.
All right.
Of a mushroom. I don't know.
Okay.
But yes, and like truffle oil and all that stuff is made from the mushrooms.
Okay, I gotcha. All right.
On that shit. And they're hard to find, and you need pigs to sniff them out or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think it's that confusing that there's a chocolate truffle and a...
I mean, it both goes with cheese, apparently.
Sure.
You can have chocolate and cheese, and you can have cheese and mushrooms.
Yeah, they recommend you pair this with a chocolate advent calendar, which I will not do.
Whoa. They're selling you another advent calendar with an advent calendar?
They have a curated wine and chocolate advent calendar. And there was actually a second cheese advent calendar that was there, but it only had 12 cheeses instead of 24. Yeah. So I was like, nah.
I bet the profit margin on advent calendars is crazy.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. Anyway, what a start. What a start to the
truffle
month.
Cheddar.
One day down,
yep.
One cheese stronger.
We'll remember to speak during your eating next episode.
Can't believe it.
I don't know.
What a pro.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the 16th, November 16th, 2025. Mm-hmm. This sucks. This really sucks,
yeah.
Honestly. And it led down a dumb path for me to go down. But, hey, what's new?
What's new?
So we're going to talk about that here in a moment, but first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Alex eats Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles combined and likes it. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Ooh. Next, I'm a demon possessing a human body, and I got to tell you, this is pretty terrific. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you can't leave me. It ain't that easy. R.I.P. D'Angelo. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And RIP.
And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Andy in Ohio. You're on the air. I love you. Can you believe we got married? Love, stinky wife. Thank you so much. You're an Ohio technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
So this is a Sunday episode, and Alex, you know, I think there's a lot of times where Sundays live a little bit outside of the continuity of his weekday show.
Sure.
This is one of those examples. Mm. Like, I think that this is him trying some things
this
on.
This is a soft launch?
Yep. But, I mean, he is still the same person.
Mm.
You notice in my many years on air, I might have worn camouflage 4 times. This is the 4th time. And like I said on air yesterday in that special Saturday broadcast, that's to get everybody's attention, that the war has reached its peak. Cultural, spiritual, informational, military. It's hit the peak in history, and it's about to get even more insane. So that's just a symbol to everybody about how hardcore the situation is, okay? Now, if I wanted ratings, and I've been number one talk show host, podcaster, English-speaking person in the world for at least 2 years at one point, I'm always in the top five. If I wanted to be absolutely number one all the time, I know what people want. I know what populists want, the majority of you, even though you're somewhat awake, not fully in my view. But I refuse to give it to you. The edgelording, the doing nothing but bitching, the nothing but tearing Trump down.
Alex is just refusing to accept what's happening in the media space that's surrounding him. And it's leading to a rise in the edgelording avant-garde Nazis that he hangs out with, gaining a much bigger piece of the pie than they should have. In Alex's mind, he always has to be right, but he's wrong a lot of the time. The best way to pretend that you're right about something when you're very clearly wrong is to pretend that everyone who thinks you're wrong completely misunderstands the point. And if they weren't so dumb, they would see that you're right. The issue right now that everyone is struggling with is that Trump sucks. According to Alex's own standards, he's an enemy of free speech, he's engaged in gun grabbing, he's abusing his power to use executive orders, he's violated posse comitatus, and he's actively involved in covering up a child sex trafficking and blackmail ring because the globalists asked him to look the other way.
Yeah.
At the point when this episode is being aired, Trump has called Marjorie Taylor Greene a traitor and threatened to help primary her and other Republicans who have helped pass the Epstein Accountability Act, which is insane behavior.
Mm.
On top of that, Trump is clearly not ending the longstanding wars around the world that Alex is supposed to care a lot about, and is committing war crimes by blowing up boats that are alleged to be narcotics trafficking boats in a clear attempt to trigger a war with Venezuela.
Yeah.
Trump sucks, and a lot of Alex's audience and Trump's base are starting to understand that. Trump's numbers are dropping, and Alex hears a lot of people saying, you gotta move on from this guy. At this point, Alex's mind is already made up. For whatever reason, he's not going to be against Trump, so his move is to find a paradigm where that is the right thing to do. Continuing to be a Trump media surrogate is the right thing to do, if all the people who are criticizing Trump are just doing it to chase ratings. If being an edgelord and being negative about Trump is just the hot new thing in the dipshit media, then Alex maintaining his position of supporting Trump is actually a sign of him having integrity. That's why he has to present the situation like this, where the people who can accurately assess that Trump sucks, they're all sellouts who are chasing an audience. One of the interesting dynamics here is how this attitude is useful in the moment and helps Alex feel better, but it is a big net negative. The longer he keeps up this delusional Trump is totally cool game as Trump continues to do indefensible shit, the more his audience is going to get confused about how this picture doesn't match up. Alex's take on this stuff, it just seems very biased, and even if you're dumb, you're gonna see that. That's fine when Alex is the only game in town, but now that dipshit media that he's in, it's so full of different voices, and there are plenty of other options for an audience that wants to see an impassioned crypto-racist pretending to analyze tweets. In the past, people might have had to just suck it up and accept Alex's weird soft spot for Trump, but now he has competition in a meaningful sense, and his refusal to get real about Trump is doing those people a huge favor. And he's complaining about them at the same time all of his actions are only giving them more access to an audience, more money,
yeah.
More influence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only way that it makes sense is if 3 years from now, all of those people are like, we're going to vote a new president in office. And Trump is like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. Then Alex is prime spot. That's where you want to be the moment the no, you're not happens.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's fucked.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But I also think that even if that is how things go, Alex is fucked.
Probably.
Like, I think you kill Alex. I don't think you bring him in as your head of propaganda or something. He is a wily loose cannon who, like, reveals his sources on the air while saying, I don't reveal sources.
Sure.
Like, he's a gossip.
Yeah, but loyalty is far more important.
But I think that he can't be loyal because of tendencies that he has.
Yeah, loyalty really is impossible for him.
He can be loyal in terms of, like, I'm not I'm not going to flip on this guy.
Right. But I will betray you by virtue of me existing as myself.
I have to gossip. I can't keep secrets.
Yeah.
I'll betray you in some way that I don't mean to.
You're my source for things that you're off the record on. Mm-hmm. Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's a liability.
Yeah. I mean, really, you just clean house.
Hmm?
Yeah. You're right.
Trump is trying to clean house with people who care about Epstein. And... he's attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Sure.
And Alex isn't cool with this, but he's also like, come on, it's drama. It's
what are you going to do?
And I know it's a fun drama to have him calling MTG a traitor and her shooting back the targets on her back. I talked to her today. Just like, oh, it was fun when Elon got kicked out and ha, Trump's the king. And I said, not good. And Trump lost 6, 7, 8 points in key constituency from that and didn't ever really get it back. He had his highest approval rating ever then. And Doge was just wrecking the establishment.
It sure kind of was.
And then you had Trump, worst misstep ever, telling his constituents, if you care about Epstein files, you're not MAGA. I mean, if I was trying to come up with a plan for Trump to destroy himself, that would be it. So this is bad, folks. And I want to also explain what happens if we let the Democrats back in, because all you having fun attacking Trump right now, which I'm saying I understand why you do, you still realize,
At the end of the day, you got to fall in line.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trump fighting with MTG and Elon are not fun dramas. They're concrete examples of how he's too immature to lead and incapable of dealing with a government organization where other people are allowed input. His comments about the Epstein files weren't a huge misstep. They were his natural and understandable response and an indication of how corrupt a guy he really is. This isn't fun drama. It's embarrassing. And at the end there, you get the bottom line for Alex. The enemy is always worse. So criticizing Trump in any way that threatens his hold on power really just makes it more likely that the enemy will take power. So there's nothing Trump could ever do to deserve real consequences. In effect, Alex is saying the exact same thing that Trump did when he said that people who care about Epstein aren't real MAGA. You are not real MAGA if you want to make a big deal out of something that could lead to the Democrats or the left gaining power. So any meaningful dissent means you're off the team. You're supposed to give shallow, performative critiques to some of the stuff Trump does, but then make it someone else's fault and fall in line. That's what Alex considers holding Trump's feet to the fire, and anyone who's doing more than that is helping the Dems, and they're not part of this.
Man, the power of you're helping the Dems.
Mm-hmm.
What a wildly powerful thing for these people. You don't even want to know what happens when the Dems get back into power. What's happening now? Fuck, you don't want to know that either.
Yeah, it's something that I think holds a lot of us captive to not being able to recognize a better way, a better future that's possible.
Yeah, you're right.
And Alex sucks.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So Alex is committed to the fight.
Sure.
But against the globalists, the devil, all that stuff.
Sure.
To the point where he doesn't watch movies anymore.
At all?
Well, maybe once a month.
Okay, well,
but he's doing it for work.
Okay, good.
I'm here to get you to look at the pieces of this and ask yourself, what do we need to do? And I know what we need to do. This is all I do. I don't watch movies anymore unless I'm analyzing one maybe once a month. I don't do anything except spend a few hours with my children today and work. And all I do is dream about this at night. This is what I do. And I know what I'm talking about. I know most of you understand that, but I just want to warn everyone to think second, third, fourth order here. I have reached out to Trump, and I've publicly done it as well, and I've reached out to the people in the White House today, and I've reached out to MTG and her boyfriend, her fiancé, who I love, that runs Right Side. I've reached out to a bunch of other people behind the scenes, and I've given the same speech you're about to get right now. Stop it.
Good speech. it's a good speech.
That is a good speech.
Stop it.
What do you think the last movie he analyzed was?
I know what the next one he's going to is.
Oh, yeah?
You're going to love it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But the last movie he analyzed, I mean, he did bring up one battle after another.
I was going to say, I wonder what his analysis of one battle after the other is.
We've heard a little bit of it, but I think he just saw the trailer or something.
Yeah.
It was about, like, how bombing things is sexy.
Yeah, he hasn't talked about the Santa Claus Warriors or whatever it is.
Yeah, he doesn't have much exploration of text.
Yeah, that's fair.
I also don't think he's watching one movie a month. But also, it's great that, you know, it's just totally fine that Marjorie Taylor Greene was dating the head of Right Side Broadcasting.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Are we going to be surprised at anything anymore? Mm. Right? I don't know. RFK was the fucking attorney general. Shit gets weird in the American government, right?
Mm-hmm. RFK Jr.?
Yep.
Cool
RFK Jr. Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be cool. It skips a generation.
Yeah.
RFK wound up being cool. RFK Jr., very not cool.
Mm-hmm.
RFK Jr. Jr., going to crush it.
Right. Because you have the melding of Cheryl Hines' ancestral DNA coming into the mix.
How can you not become a super person
right.
between those two?
So Alex is really struggling a bit with the fact that Trump is really on the warpath against Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
He is going after her pretty hard.
Yeah.
And Alex has to, he has to rationalize this. And it is a lot of the, like, lesser of two evils stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Harris would be worse.
So I'm sitting there watching him like an emergency surgeon. We're all shot up fixing everything. And then we're sitting there watching him and we say, hey, sir, what about this? And he goes, shut up, and backhands us. And I understand his frustration because he believes on him. He's on a mission. And he's ultra confident now. I mean, he used to be really confident. Now he's like, does not give an F. But he will listen to me and others. Still, if it comes from a position, and if you can get the message or talk to him. But he just hears MTG's attacking you. MTG, and it's all cherry picked out of a 20-minute interview where she says 90% nice about him, but says, I'm really concerned about this and that, trying to get him to do what she thinks is right. Instead, he throws a fit on her and other people. And then they all get their feathers in a fluff, you know, and then it's just like watching Banny Roosters fight. Man, I'm going to ask everybody one more time. Let's say they, okay, Trump's bad. You're the America first. He's a traitor. You know, he works for Netanyahu, which he doesn't. All of that. So you want to go back in time, put Kamala Harris in?
He's just yelling at the idea of Nick. Like, he's just saying, like, America, oh, you're also American first. You think he works for Netanyahu? Like, you've had him on the show. You've had these arguments with him. You've lost.
Yep. I hate him. I want to be him. I hate him, but because I want to be him, I hate him. I wish I was him.
I think that if you were somebody who was just a crass media figure who did not give a fuck about anything and just wanted to profit,
yeah,
it'd be very difficult to, like, not choose Nick's position than Alex's at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Even Alex was pissed off about Bill Cooper, and Bill Cooper was a fraud,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And old.
Exactly,
And clearly self-destructive.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to worry about him for too long.
Yeah.
This shit's not going away.
Nick presumably doesn't drink.
Yep.
Doesn't play with guns.
He straight edges his way to living too long for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else will end up killing him at some point, but, like, he doesn't have the liabilities that
nope.
Cooper did.
Nope.
So, Alex, you heard there, like, he thinks that Trump will still listen to him and some other people.
Sure.
But you gotta approach it right.
Right.
You gotta kiss his ass a little bit and
right.
shit. Like, you can't be negative. He
right.
doesn't like that.
Right.
He's a grumpy old man. Mm.
So I'll ask people, what is your plan to withdraw support from Trump? Do you think we put a bunch of pressure on Trump from a hateful perspective, and that makes him come over to our side? He'll dig his heels in. He is more stubborn than the biggest jackass donkey you ever seen. He has the stubbornness of 1,000 mules and another 10,000 donkeys. If you come out of that perspective. Now, you got to explain to him how he's being set up and how he's wrong. And Roger went there, whenever it was, 6 months ago, and was there at the White House 8 days. And Trump came out and gave press conference and said, no, it's not a hoax. He's horrible. And the Clintons and J.P. Morgan, the head of Harvard, and Larry Summers, and all them, and great, investigate. And his approval rating went back up. And he's asking press conferences later because, you know, Trump's 79. He's got a lot going on. And he goes right back to, it's a Democrat hoax, meaning the attack, all of it. And we've got the new emails out. It is all recycled crap with him lying about it. You actually read it. It's all true what he's saying. That's what's so frustrating, is that we project on him that he is like Superman, Clark Kent, Megamind. And really, he's a 79-year-old man that works 20 hours a day. And he's sick of it, so he just goes, ah, screw you if you don't like me. I'm trying to save the country. And then, oh, sir, MTG's attacking you all over the place. Well, screw her, the damn traitor. He's a grumpy old man.
Then fire him!
But he's our old man.
Nah. What?
See, that's, you know, you didn't let him finish the thought.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Yeah.
He's our grumpy old man.
Oh, my God.
I feel like this sounds like someone rationalizing someone who's keeping them hostage.
Yep.
This does not seem affirmatively good.
Nope.
In any way. It's just, yeah, he sucks, but, I mean, the other side sucks more.
We're trapped, but at least we're not being stabbed in the butt all the time. That's not bad. Well, I don't know if we would be if we weren't trapped anymore. Let's just stay in the trap.
And I believe a lot of politics does end up coming down to making compromises that oftentimes do come off like this.
Sure.
Of like, this guy sucks, but sure, the alternative is worse.
Sure, 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 sure.
I think in the real world there is a lot of that.
Sure.
But Alex doesn't live in the real world.
Right.
And the thing that he's saying is better than the alternative is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's calling his biggest supporter a traitor because she won't give up the investigation into a sex trafficking network.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
No, I mean, you know, as you were saying, you know, there's a lot of compromises and stuff like that. But eventually and ultimately, there are things that you cannot compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that could be whatever it is for each individual. But you know what? You got to pick something.
And Alex,
period,
in the course of his career, has picked a bunch of things.
You got it.
And Trump is violating a lot of
right.
them.
And once that thing has been broken, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Otherwise, don't pick anything. Otherwise, yeah, don't believe anything.
Yeah.
You know? You just have to have at least one thing where it's like, nope, I've chosen this. Fuck off. I'm yep. out.
Yep. That's a part of principle, which mm-hmm. is a costume Alex has failed in wearing recently.
Shit all over.
So Alex saw a video online.
That's not good.
And this becomes most of the rest of the show.
Sure.
He saw a video where a guy is explaining that America is the new Rome.
Okay.
And Israel was sacked by Rome. And so Israel hates America because they're the new Rome. And Netanyahu has said so. Go on. Yes, I feel like you have a question.
So do you, so you're saying that Israel can't tell the difference in time or in space or in, I guess, realities?
No, they, I guess they're correct. We're Rome.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Ugh, I hate them. Are
the
they...
West, you know? It's the lineage of
okay,
Rome
so
and
just,
Greece or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, the Jews hates the whites.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
There we go.
You got it.
Why can't we just say the Jews hate the whites anymore?
Got it in one.
Now we're here. You get to say the Jews hate the whites, right?
So that's a large part of what is powering this person's content.
Yeah.
And Alex has seen a video of this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it is just like we're the new Rome. And so he talks about that a lot.
Okay.
So here's a clip of Netanyahu, past and present, saying, oh, America is the new Rome. And then he's like, oh, I'm reading a book about, you know, Israel's war with Rome. He goes, we got to win the war with Rome. And he says, America's the new Rome. He tells you America is his brand of Judaism's evil. Why? Because it's the most powerful. It's Rome. He knows history repeats.
What? Wait.
So you don't know you're a Roman. I love that line. And Joe tweeted it once. And I wasn't a big fan. I don't want a fan of TV, period. But The Sopranos, and they asked the head Sopranos guy, they go, what do you think happened to the Romans? He goes, what the fuck you think you're looking at? But the point is, like, the point is that we are the new Rome, guys. This whole thing's Roman. It's a Roman system. They got their Judaic system.
Tell me about these systems.
And they don't want to compete with it. Trump is a Roman. And he's trying to work with the Israelis, but But they don't see him as that. They see him as Titus.
Jesus
Christ.
They
see him as Pompeo that sent Titus. And it's literally, looked it up, Pompeo goes all the way back to that leader.
Wait, I'm sorry?
It's the same thing. You think of thousands of years ago, it was a long time ago. It's like 2 seconds ago, folks.
Oh, my God.
You're connected to your mother and father, them to them.
Oh, my God.
All the same blood, all the same connection, like electricity. You go all the way back.
So Alex recently saw this video that was going around social media that framed world politics as being essentially Israel versus Rome.
Great.
Where the U.S. and the West are now Rome. The argument the person is making is a fundamentally anti-Semitic smear because Rome fell long before Israel was a state, and this is just a repackaging of the idea that you so brilliantly pointed out that Jewish people are at war with the white man.
There we go. Yeah. All right, we got there.
Alex doesn't seem to understand or care how this new exciting position he's adopting is basically Nazi shit. Instead, he's acting like it's some kind of enlightened place he's achieved through research. According to this new framework that Alex spends a lot of the show on,
sure.
Some old civilizations have very long memories.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Chinese people are sending us fentanyl over here to kill Americans as revenge for the opium wars.
Sure.
Western, and by that Alex means white, civilizations are able to grow and escape from the petty need to pay other countries back for past offenses, but these other guys, they just can't move on.
No, that's why we burned Iraq to the ground.
So the Chinese are sending us drugs, and the Jews are mad about Titus sacking the Second Temple in 70 AD.
Are they?
I guess. That's why you need to shut up about Trump covering up the Epstein stuff.
Right.
Throughout Alex's scholarly rant about how no one understands history, he keeps referring to Titus working with someone named Pompeo.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really confusing because the Roman general who was involved in the sacking of Jerusalem was Pompey the Great.
Yeah.
Whose name wasn't Pompeo.
Do you mean Pompeo the Great?
Right.
Do you mean Pompeo the Great?
So I was really confused. And then later, Alex plays the video that he saw on Twitter that he's basically just built a show around.
Sure.
Which includes this line, and then it all made sense.
I've been trying to tell people on my channel that America is the modern day Rome. Over 350 military bases that are just spreading ourselves out, you know, the deep state. Anyway, watch this for a second.
We had a moving visit today to the wall. I can't resist repeating this, but I'm going to. I said to the secretary that the last time Pompeo visited Jerusalem didn't end that well. But this is a different time.
So Netanyahu made a joke to Mike Pompeo about his name being similar to Pompey, so Alex is just running with that. This clip comes from a video made by a former Utah cop named Eric Moutsos, who ironically is exactly the type of person Alex has been yelling about this entire episode.
Shocking.
All of his fucking content is about Israel and how the U.S. is occupied by Jewish people. He's the archetype of the guy who Alex is like, hey, why are you so obsessed with Israel?
Yeah.
It's all low-effort anti-Semitic slop recorded in his car, couched in pretending it's a criticism of the state of Israel. Eric isn't a critic of Israel or someone making political content. He posted a video the other day that was just about how great Henry Ford's International Jew was. That was just a load of bigot trash that builds to him getting out of his car and revealing that he's driving a Ford.
Right. I was like... Because of the way that language works, right? I had forgotten for a second that was a piece of literature.
Yeah.
And instead I was like, did he tour with
somebody? No, did not. So I can't believe that I did this.
Yeah.
But in order to fully get a sense of where this guy was coming from and treat it fairly, I watched an almost 2-hour video that he put out about 6 months ago called Who Are They? Which I would love to watch Alex try to justify.
Yeah.
Because it's... I wonder
who they is, because it's really nice of him to lay it out for me. There's no way for me to guess.
It's an interesting exploration that he has,
yeah,
of dumb ideas.
Yeah.
So Alex is basing almost his entire show on this video that this Eric fella put out. And Eric actually embodies something that I think is a huge problem in right-wing idiot media spaces right now. his long deconstruction of who they are is just him sitting talking into a camera and playing short, deceptively edited videos that he found on social media.
Mm.
Those videos often include fake quotes or things that are presented in a way to deprive context from the original source, but they're packaged smoothly for someone to consume on TikTok. There's no research that's being done here. Eric hasn't looked into any of this stuff. He's just decided to believe that whoever made those TikTok videos has done the work and is telling the truth.
Right.
The question that he's pretending to ask in that video is basically, are the Jews behind all the problems in the world?
I bet they are.
And he's taking the question so unseriously that all he can be bothered to do is watch propaganda memes created by Nazis, which he then pretends is research. He's not citing any books in this lecture, this two-hour video that he put out, and any time he brings up something like the Talmud, he hasn't read anything. He's just referring to someone else tweeting something about it.
Right.
And here's the point I want to make. Eric does not give a shit about this stuff. It's just really marketable right now.
Yeah.
This is a big fucking question, whether or not a group of people is fundamentally evil and behind all the problems in the world. So if you're setting out to answer that question, you have a responsibility to be a little bit serious about it. If you appoint yourself someone like who's making a comment on that kind of question, especially if your answer is kind of yes, you can't just be a dude skimming shitty videos on social media.
Yeah.
That's an indication that you don't really care about this.
Yeah.
It's a big question to not take seriously.
There are so many books about Rome.
It's true.
You can't fucking... How could you ever even consider saying, like, oh, we're the new Rome without also having read at least one book?
Well,
right?
It's because that guy in his video that Alex watched plays a couple clips of Benjamin Netanyahu saying things that are like America is the new Rome.
Right, right, right. He didn't read like Asimov's The Rise and Fall. He didn't read a book. He didn't even read a textbook for high schoolers.
Well, in the clip that we just heard from that guy, Eric's video.
Yeah.
It's Netanyahu who is talking to Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
And he's saying the last time a Pompeo was here, it didn't go well.
Right.
Which is the sacking of the Second Temple.
Sure.
And he says America, the new Rome, views itself as the new Jerusalem.
Right.
And so, like, this is in the context of Mike Pompeo going over after Trump had made Jerusalem recognized as the capital.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot going on. He's not calling America the new Rome. He's pointing out a similarity that actually reveals a difference between Rome and America.
Yeah.
And, like, I get taking that out of context, but that's where a lot of that comes from.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose if your entire worldview is based off of 30-second things that one guy said who happens to run Israel at the time, that's going to fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
You should broader kind of view.
Right.
You
know? And you heard the violin in the background of that Netanyahu clip, and that's because this guy didn't find that clip.
Nope.
He didn't watch this whole speech. He didn't he didn't source any of this stuff. He found it in another TikTok video.
Yep.
And now he's just building an argument based on bullshit.
It's regurgitation.
Yeah.
It is nonstop. It is like the hive mind throwing up into somebody else's mouth and them turning around and throwing up into another person's mouth.
And then Alex is eating that and throwing it up.
Yep.
And if, like, you want to be taken seriously on the subject of do the Jews run the world, this can't be your workflow. It's insulting. Just on the level of you don't even take this seriously.
Come on.
You're just watching TikToks.
The world is so big. It's
right.
So big.
Very dumb.
Yeah.
So the world may be big.
Sure.
But it also operates off old beef. Old beef.
Sure.
So this old beef that's going on. Like everybody's got it.
Ancient beefs. Your great 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 grandfather killed my great 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 grandfather. We're gonna fight till the end.
Yeah.
Thousands of years ago is a long time ago. It's like 2 seconds ago, folks. You're connected to your mother and father, them to them. It's all the same blood, all the same connection, like electricity. You go all the way back. And you've forgotten all of this.
Sure.
And so you don't understand your identity. Well, don't worry. Other groups with long memories that got their shit together, they do. And they see you as the enemy team. It's not an attack on anybody. Hey, you've declared war on us. We accept the challenge. But I ain't going to spend all my time on the Likudniks and their hijacking Israel. Because there's a lot of smart people over there that know where this is going and don't want to blow the world up. Saudi Arabia is wanting to shut it down. They got all these Muslim leaders coming out saying, hey, stop the invasion. We don't want war. We're going to kill everybody. We're going to blow the planet up. Major Muslim leaders in Jordan and Saudi Arabia like, hey, the Islamic invasion, take no more Muslims. We don't want it. We're not going with Muhammad. No, no, it's not.
I'm sorry. Wait. Can you do that? Can you choose to not go with Muhammad?
Chinese, they think they have a right to rule. They're like, we're 6,000 years old, bitch. You think you won 10 quarters ago? This is a 100-quarter game.
That's not quarters.
That's not quarters.
It ain't over till it's over. The average American's paycheck to paycheck, thinking about a Netflix show, going out with your buddies playing pool, go to the beach, thinking about your next trip to Cancun. Xi Jinping ain't thinking about that. He's got 500-year plans.
Maybe he should.
Benjamin Netanyahu's got 2,000-year plans.
Maybe he should take a break.
And you take somebody like me that knows all this, and I'm the bad guy, so I don't give you simple, mindless crap. But that's why they want me off the air, because these guys have read all the books and all the study, and they don't like hearing somebody go, "That we got one that can see." It's like in They Live, when the woman in the grocery store puts the glasses on, and she goes, or she sees him put the glasses on, and she goes, she talks in her watch, it's like a transmitter. She goes, "I got one that can see." All right, here is this breakdown. It's absolutely on target. We play this like 5 times in a row. And I guess we can give you a few rabbis saying we're going to destroy Rome. You want to see that? You didn't know you were Rome? It'd be like the Crips and the Bloods, the 80s and 90s, killing tens of thousands of each other. And then you're a black kid growing up in the year 2090 somewhere. And somebody comes and shoots you because you're black and maybe your granddaddy was in the Bloods. I mean, it's that crazy. You don't know what the Bloods are in 2090 or what the Crips are. Well, they do.
Well, yeah.
So this is how the world really works, boys and girls. So you're seen as a Roman. And you think, well, Western culture is the Gutenberg press and the King James Bible and the Magna Carta and common law. Well, that ain't
China invented all of those things.
That ain't how the Chinese see it or how the Jews see it in Israel, the ones that are, you know, in charge. You ever notice Putin addresses America as the and the UK as the Anglo-Saxons? The average person thinks they have a little bit of British history. He goes, oh, I'm an Anglo-Saxon. No, Anglo-Saxons are a Norse tribe that conquered Western Europe, and then William the Conqueror conquered the British Isles. And then Putin announces them as, well, we've had our thousand-year war, because they invaded Russia as well, with the Anglo-Saxons. We defeated you from the West and the Mongols and the Muslims from the East later, and so we'll defeat you as well, Anglo-Saxon. It's old beefs, people.
Yeah, I get it.
It's old beefs.
Yeah.
It's old beefs. That's all it is. Dan! It's old beefs.
History is all a race war.
Listen, they're from there, which is close to there. It's old beefs.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oof. Did you notice how they called him Anglo-Saxon? If you cut that up, that's Anglo. That's Aang from Avatar, The Last Airbender. And then you have Saxon, and that's sax, which is like a saxophone, which Lisa Simpson played in The Simpsons. So you've got Aang versus The Simpsons. The Avatar wins every time. That controls all four elements.
This is bleeding gums
it's
erasure.
It's old beefs.
This is bleeding gums erasure. Sure. Saxophone, when you're talking about Simpsons,
right.
You cannot.
You're right. You're right.
Come on.
I know.
I find this to be pathetic. I don't know what else to say. It's just you're listening to a man say stupid fucking shit.
China's like, we're 6,000 years old, bitch.
Yeah.
Sure.
Great.
What does that even mean?
What great geopolitical analysis. Everybody's mad at each other.
Different
places, and they're mad.
We were at the G7, mm-hmm. Right? And China, man, are they allowed? Are they in the G7 anymore? Or was that the G8? No, the G8 had Russia in it.
Yeah,
man, I don't even know what people are doing anymore. Guess what? I guess that's as much as I know. That China's like we're 6,000 years old.
I think a lot of people are doing things without us.
Yeah, smart.
Starting to talk about doing things without us, which is wise.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
This is oversimplification of a lot of stuff that serves just the racist purpose of creating the image that everybody is out to get the white man.
Yeah,
which is the foundation of Alex's ideology, really.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he would adopt this this kind of framework.
Yeah, I mean, it's it was going to happen because
mm-hmm.
it's old beefs.
It's old beefs.
He's literally existing in old beefs as we speak. His racism comes from his parents and his grandparents and their grandparents before him. They are all the same.
They have the same blood.
He is the old beef while at the same time he's telling you how stupid old beefs are.
Right.
Amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Well, I think that that kind of speaks to part of his old beef.
Yeah.
Which is that he views white people as the only people who are able to transcend old beef.
Right.
Right? Like, he does not believe that China
and will never stop fighting about it.
Yeah. China, Muslims, the Jews, they're all caught in their old beef.
Trapped in their old beefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to keep fighting those old beefs, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But
because they're
going
to do it. Because
they're going to fight those old beefs. I have no investment in these old beefs.
No.
I what I'm trying to do is stop them from having these old beefs by eradicating them, admittedly.
I transcend the left-right paradigm by being super far to the right.
Feels very similar to the beef.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So anyway, history
is
like one big race war. And it's kind of like a movie.
There we are. Which movie?
Well, you'll love it.
Okay.
So the Chinese want to get America, not the Chinese person on average, I'm talking about the Chinese government, in Europe because of the opium, the fentanyl their day.
Sure.
The Jews are pissed because the Roman general burned everything down. Like, what? That makes sense to me. Well, that's because you don't understand. These people understand. Have you seen Dune? Have you read the book?
There
Frank
it is.
Herbert is genius.
There
Later
it
books
is.
Aren't that good. He's made money on House Atreides, House Harkonnen. All these houses, they're thousands of years old, and it's all about the beefs. It's all about the wars. It's all about how many times they tried to beat the other one. And these empires are still there, and they're pissed. They've been battling and battling. It's not that the Jews are bad, or the Chinese are bad, or the Anglo-Saxons, or the Russians. We all got our problems. But these are the football teams. And if you don't know the football teams, you don't know what's going on. When Baron Harkin's about to kill Duke Leto Atreides after 2,000 years of war.
Not between the two of them.
All because hundreds of generations before, his ancestor had betrayed the Harkonnens when they were the good guys. He says, finally, your house dies tonight. Your son, your wife, your concubine, your house, you're all dead. Finally, the 2,000 years ends right now. Your house dies tonight. Last of the Mohicans. This is based on true stories composite.
I'm sorry, we are moving fast.
It's the last Mohican there, and you got the tribe that's exterminated all his people because of hundreds and hundreds of years of war, and he says, today your seed dies forever. You are the last of Mohicans. I'm going to kill you.
Sure.
This is what it's all about. This is what genetics is about. It's what eugenics is about. It's what Plato wrote about. This is everything. This is the real world, folks. It ain't your football team. The Titans versus the Redskins or the... No, that's all facsimiles. The real war are these forces.
Races?
Yeah.
I think that Alex is... Like, I don't understand if he, knows what he's saying, but he really feels like he's arguing for, ethnic purity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the maintenance of clean blood.
I don't know how else to describe what it is he's describing.
Yeah.
Because that would, by definition, what he is describing, should you have, say, a black person in your family tree, you would consider that race memory to be evil.
Or at least not part of your football team.
Right. But it's part of you, so now you must be excised from the tree.
Well,
yep.
It's very bad. Like, the ideas that he's espousing are very bad, but I really, like, even, you know, however many years we are into this, like, I can't really tell if he understands, like, what he is fully say.
Yeah.
Or if he just watched this YouTube video and he's so lazy that it's just like, fuck, there's a day's show. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I suppose it's an interesting question, too, if you go back to, like, the 1800s, whenever you'd have, like, a scientist who is like, oh, I've studied this and I'm going to say what Alex says is true, right? do you think they truly understood what they were saying? You know, because they didn't understand what they were talking about. They thought about it more, but they were fucking crazy, right? Yeah. So has he just put in so much thought in the wrong direction that he's a fucking lunatic?
It's possible. Like, yeah. I think that these ideas are compatible with a lot of his career and his content. Like, yeah. It could be what is behind, like, a lot of his ideas. But he likes to pretend that he's not a sort of race essentialist.
And, yeah.
These things that he's saying, like, it's your football team. You know, that kind of stuff is
you
racial
were born,
team sports.
You were born on this football team.
And it's about your blood.
Yeah.
And the old beefs.
Relative purity of your blood and the old beefs.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the Dune part of it is even crazier.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you invoke Dune and you're talking about race science, you're not going to have a good time.
No.
It's going to be a bad idea.
No.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Alex would just become a worm.
Oh, no, you don't want him to do that because the worm is God.
Mm.
So you're saying that Alex should become God? That's a terrible idea.
But isn't it kind of a curse?
I mean, isn't godhood kind of a curse?
Yeah.
Deep.
You know it would be fun?
Yeah.
I think a great curse for Alex would be God actually talking to him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Actually being like, hey, cut it out.
No, Alex, all of the right wing right now is living inside the most perfect, like, ironic genie wish, right? Like, what they are getting what they wished for, and they're finding out that this isn't what they wished for. Like, this is
sucks.
This is classic.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Alex can't internalize,
right?
Is like, a lot of the people who are around you who are starting to recognize that Trump sucks,
yeah,
are ahead of you.
Yeah,
that's ahead of the ball. That's the way this is breaking.
Yeah, it's, you know, the bummer, like, Faust doesn't end with Faust going like, you know what? I don't think I did anything wrong. And then the book is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there is the moment where he goes, ah, shit, I fucked up.
Yeah.
We need, as a society, we need that moment.
Yeah.
We cannot live without a moment where Faust goes, this was a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even people who didn't, like, choose to have Trump as the ruler or whatever, we still need to be an active part of that, like,
absolutely,
that reckoning with how bad this period has
this
been.
This was a bad move.
Yeah.
Let's enshrine how bad it is in fucking statues and shit.
Yeah, let's avoid statues.
Statues are dumb, but you know what I mean. Concrete, someplace.
So I think a lot of Alex's early career and a lot of the stuff that he, that could have broad appeal.
Sure.
Like, a lot of ideas involve, like, the CIA overthrew all these countries. And,
sure.
You know, they're involved in, they're meddling in politics and all, sure, this stuff, and they shouldn't do that.
Right.
So right now, Alex believes that the CIA is trying to overthrow Mexico.
And they should totally be doing that.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
Naturally.
You've got Mexico engulfed in a massive revolution. Is the CIA involved? Yes, probably, undoubtedly. But it was already overdue. Mexico is an incredible tyranny. We'll get to that coming up. This is about Trump reasserting American dominance in our hemisphere, securing Rome, going after Venezuela and its subsidiary Mexico. It all ties together. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And it doesn't mean we endorse all of this. We're just telling you what's happening so you can make your own assessment. But I mentioned the Dune remake. That's excellent. The first is a two-part.
Sure.
Excellent book by Frank Herbert. We understand esoteric systems, governments, intelligence agencies. It's an archetype of what's happened in the last 1,000 years.
Sure.
But Dune is set 3,000 years after the machines take over with AI, exterminate most of humanity. Humans fight back in a jihad against the machines.
Sure.
The Butlerian jihad, mm-hmm, if memory serves.
Orange Catholic
and
Bible.
Because in the book, it's estimated that major exploration for space colonies is a bunch of Muslims, and then they're one of the main groups that fights against the machines. But the point is,
I'm sorry,
is that it's an archetype of what's actually happened. And so you have a couple thousand-year war between House Harkonnen and House Atreides, for the two top royal dynasties interplanetary under the Emperor. And he wants to play the two off against each other to take out House Atreides and then later take out House Harkonnen. But it all backfires on him. But here he is, after he's turned over spice production, the key live extension technology, to House Atreides from House Harkonnen. It was really a sneak attack plan. And Baron Harkonnen.
Are we doing this?
Floating along on his anti-grab.
Are we doing this the whole time? Over
to kill Duke Leto Atreides, announced after thousands of years of attacking you and wars, it all ends today. He chomps on his poison tooth and dies.
the Baron's able to put on a shield and go up the ceiling and survive.
Sure.
But the point is that when you see these movies and things, these are archetypes of history. So why does Baron Harkonnen care about 2,000 years ago, the Atreides, who were, you could say, bad at the time, betraying Harkonnen? They then become corrupt over time, and off of this hatred become 20 times more evil than the Atreides, and over 2,000 years, the Atreides become the good guys. It shows how all these things change over time, which is true. Here's a clip.
Which is true. There you go.
Lord Baron.
But how did he get the tooth? Alex has so much detail in that the setup for this scene, and sure. Yet he doesn't even bring up Dr. Yui.
He doesn't. And to break a Sook doctor's training.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, but he had to think of his wife.
Oh, it's the wife every time.
Nothing about Duncan, Idaho. Yeah. So that's how the world works.
That is, you know, I wonder, here's what's interesting to me, right? I find it interesting that these people are talking about Rome while thinking about Dune, mm-hmm. as opposed to the correct sci-fi, which would be Asimov's Foundation.
Sure.
You know, like, you're right there. If you're going to do sci-fi, if you're going to do Rome, boom, there. It is what it is.
Yeah, Alex is more of a Dune guy, though.
Ah, but that's crazy. There's psychics in the Foundation. You'll get some psychic powers.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think he just wasn't an Asimov guy.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't feel like he references... My Asimov isn't as deep as it could be.
You're
my
not a
awareness.
Caves of Steel guy?
No. Yeah. But he is more in the Dune childhood's end.
Right. Yeah.
These are more his touchstones.
There are so many of these guys who it's like, if you traced it back, it's bad sci-fi, or it's sci-fi at the wrong time, or the wrong kind of sci-fi at the wrong kind, you know? Mm. And there's so many people where it's like, if you had just switched this book out for this book, would we have a completely different universe?
Or if you'd had a friend you could talk to about what you're reading.
Or if you had a friend.
Yeah. If you had a sounding board to help you, like, understand literature a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would say that his understanding of Dune, much like his understanding of the real world, surface level only.
Well, we're not quite done. There's a little more.
Oh, does he have more?
Yeah.
Great.
In the book, it was a 2,000-year war, and House Atreides is like the Greeks or the West. So again, it's all archetypes of this. And so just like them trying to kill Trump and shut us down, that's the years in the desert, we come back stronger. You can't give up even when you lose phases of this thing. We have to transcend the Anglo-Saxons and the Russians fighting, the Chinese attacking what they see as the West, the New Rome, the Jews attacking the New Rome. It's the same stuff. And this is what they talk about in their councils, folks. So be adults.
Wait, I'm sorry?
I know all you so-called Jew experts that think if you slip a banana boat with Jews, you're like, we never heard any of this because you're dumb. I'm sorry. You're idiots.
So that's like Nick and, ironically, the guy who made the New Rome video that Alex is basing all of this off of.
That is him.
Yeah, they're the people Alex is saying are dumb.
Right. The people that he's saying do a great job, he is also saying, are fucking stupid.
Right.
And you shouldn't listen to them.
That's a problem.
They do a great job, though.
Yeah. I come on, man.
It's very difficult to parse.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid. It's poorly planned.
Yeah.
It's lazy. It's sloppy. And Dune.
Okay, so.
That's how the world works.
I mean, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Jews are trying to kill us all. That's your whole interpretation of the world. Hey,
America's the new Rome,
and because Rome wasn't nice to Jerusalem, which was not Israel at the time, that means that the Israelis, who are not necessarily the Jews of that time, somehow have a old beef with a country that did also not exist at that time.
Right.
Because they kind of think that it's a lot like that country now.
Sure.
Right.
I think that you're oversimplifying things. The Chinese also want to destroy
Rome. That's right. They're 6,000-year-old bitch.
Come on.
Yeah,
it's not,
you're right.
It's not just one
group. No, it's China and everybody non-white. Let's face it.
Yeah, also everyone in South America.
We would say African names, but he doesn't know any countries in Africa.
Yeah, Muslims.
He doesn't believe Egypt is in Africa. What? I bet he doesn't. I bet $50 he thinks Egypt is in the, yeah.
No, he knows geography.
Okay.
So we get out of the Dune section of the show,
right.
Which, like, I just really think that it's demonstrably race essentialist garbage.
Yeah.
I think that he is drifting into a territory that he can't keep that going without becoming like a Klan.
No, absolutely. No, you have to have pure white blood is where we're at now.
That if he continues down this line and doesn't drop this, that's the end of this road.
Yeah, we're looking at like, hey, can you give me your genealogy up to the 12th generation? And if I find anything I don't like in that million people, you're dead.
But it's only because the race memory we need to have,
it's
our football team.
It's got to be Kwisatz Haderach.
We can't have someone who's playing for the other team on our team.
Right. Because that would be crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, we get out of that section of the show.
Good.
And Alex is like, hey, God, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she should be nicer to Trump.
Do you mean Marjorie Taylor Brown?
I'm not attacking MTG or Tim Dillon. They're just examples I'm giving. We're piling on against Trump. It gets viral. Everybody loves it. Criticize Trump where he's wrong, but talk about the Democrats. Talk about the globalists. Talk about the larger issues. Talk about the good Trump's done so people can make a decision. I can snap my fingers and sell out to the globalists right now.
Do it. Do it. Snap. Do it.
They want me to be one of their top generals.
Become one. Do it.
Hunting
I dare you.
Down. And they couldn't believe all the times they offered me the deal. I said no. Because I don't feel good doing that. I feel good out here in the desert. Or use the analogy from the great Millis work, Apocalypse Now. While the Green Berets in the hotel room getting drunk with hookers getting weaker, Charlie's out in the jungle squatting with a AK-47 eating rice getting stronger. No, it feels good to be with humanity.
This is the image of a guy who does not watch movies or think about them a lot. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is about to resign from Congress, but that hasn't happened yet. So Alex is still kind of in this headspace where he thinks that this is a fun game and everything is going to be all right.
Right.
But more importantly, the globalists would never want Alex now. His value as a sellout is completely gone because there's no way he could credibly sell the idea of selling out to whatever audience he has left. The whole idea is that the man wants you to sell out because you have a talent, and that talent will lure the audience you can gather in the direction the man wants them to go. Your value as a sellout is completely contingent on how well you can sell out without alienating the audience that you're supposed to bring with you.
Right.
Alex is a valueless commodity on this front. He could sell out to the man tomorrow, and the man would see no benefit from it. It's a tough position for him to be in, but Alex needs to recognize that as he exists now, no one has any use for him. Trump doesn't care about his support, and Alex could completely turn on him, and Alex probably wouldn't even get to have a fun nickname. Like, Trump wouldn't even insult him out of it, probably. At the same time, all of Alex's imaginary enemies don't really care that much about what he's doing either, because there's 100 more younger, more extreme Alexes out there in the world. If anyone's going to get a sellout offer, it's someone who could actually make a dent and drive some followers in the desired direction, and Alex isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
I've come up with a 3-pronged plan to get Alex his groove back, and I think if he does these things, he could have a shot.
All right.
1, stop talking to Roger Stone and ban anyone who's a Trump partisan from the show. It's fine to have people around who want to have like positive feelings towards Trump, but Alex needs to cut it out with buddying up to political hacks.
Sure.
He's supposed to be the guy in the wilderness, not the guy who's friends with insiders. And that image needs to stop now.
Yep.
2, get back to the chaotic roots with people like Leo Zagami, Daniel Estulin, Alan Watt, Larry Nichols, Steve Pachenik. Some of these people are dead, but they're the kind of energy Alex's show needs. The show itself has become overrun with meme-creating dipshits and folks like Nick Sortor.
Yeah.
Where are the Don DeGrand Prees? Where are the Daryl Hamamotos? This show doesn't have the right balance of good lunatics, and it's suffering because of it.
Yep.
Three, do the painting show. I joke about it a lot, but it's actually one of the best ideas he's ever had.
It really is.
Alex's whole ranting about tweets thing is getting really stale, and it would benefit him a lot to explore different presentations. One of Alex's biggest marketing tools in the past has been hijacking absurdity and getting people to laugh at him. And there's a possibility that an angry-ass painting show, or a show where Alex sits down with a film critic and discusses what he thinks a movie is about, that could attract a big new audience.
Yep.
They might just be watching to laugh at him, but that's always been a part of it. From the bullhorning days to the gay frogs, all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Alex takes himself too seriously these days because of the whole fighting the devil thing. But there's a small window left where he might be able to trick people into watching him by being the butt of the joke again.
Yep.
And if he would do that with the painting show or whatever kind of presentation, you could trick a lot of people into being like, isn't this guy fun?
I mean, the painting show is just so, it's so right there. It is like, he starts painting, he's going to get distracted, and he's going to get angry when he fails at painting, and he has to keep going.
Or
what happens next is the greatest.
Or the other possibility is he's kind of decent at painting, and that's fucking weird.
That would be crazy.
And he's still angry about everything.
And what if he was just nicely explaining how he likes to paint?
No, that won't happen.
That would be insane.
I've seen him walking around in nature, and he's furious.
No,
so, be angry, but he... It would be fucking awesome if he was good at painting and he's screaming about the devil and painting.
And what would he start painting when he wasn't thinking about what he was painting? What in the middle of the rant would he continue painting, and what would appear? You know, would his Rorschach tests appear as a picture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like movie recap shows are kind of like, you know, they're a dime a dozen. There's a ton of them out there.
Sure.
But something like someone who actually cares about film sitting down with someone like Alex, who's fucking insane and sees things that aren't there in every piece of media, like that would be an interesting angle on that genre,
right?
That he has the possibility to do that no one else could do. If he started exploring lanes like that, got rid of the Trump loyalists and got interesting weirdos again,
mm-hmm.
like I think he could make a go of it, but he's not going to do any of that shit, and it's a bummer.
No, again, ironic genie. For fuck's sakes, admit you made a bad wish and let's move on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You made a bad wish, now make a painting show.
Yeah.
Wish for a very specific painting show and don't get your ass Twilight Zoned into being a Trump fan.
Yeah. You need to, and all of these three prongs, one of the things about them is reasserting yourself as like your own thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a large part of like what's missing.
Yeah, I mean, he's subsumed into everybody else's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not cool.
Mm-mm.
It's not fun.
Nope.
So we have one last clip here, and it's Alex discussing how he didn't get to any of the news.
And look, I didn't get all these articles here as a prop. I didn't have all these stacks here just to look like I had a bunch of information. I covered two stacks. Out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Not to mention all the clips. But it's okay, because I had to research it all and, you know, have it there in case we need to cover it. And you know, there's a lot to hit here. And I'll you know, my biggest frustration is not getting to all this. But I think the larger discussion about history and how the different elites see each other and what's going on is kind of important. And a lot of you probably tuned in. A lot of you tuned in and knew what I was talking about. A lot of you probably didn't know what I was talking about. You're like, what is this? Well, that's how the establishment thinks. So
through blood purity, that's how they think.
Yep.
I got all these stacks of paper here. They're not props. They're totally real. And I didn't get to a
single one of them.
Well, I got a couple, a low, very low percentage, because I got distracted by yelling about Israel and Rome.
Right.
And old beefs.
See, that is pullback. That should be the description of something fun and interesting,
mm-hmm.
especially in this context. That you could say that in a broad stroke and then be like, but don't. It's the most boring shit you could imagine, is disheartening.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. You could riff so much fun shit just off of Israel and Rome are real now and hate each other back then, and now we've got old beefs. There's a lot of fun, weird shit you can do, but instead he's just a racist.
Yeah, and I think that there's also, like, from a content perspective, ways you can make racism much more interesting.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to be evasive about what it is you're saying.
Yep.
Like, if Alex would just fully lean into it, then it would be more interesting content.
Yeah.
But he's not even able to do that, which... maybe for the better in some ways, because certainly don't want his show just to become a, like, let's hunt down people who have other blood.
Yeah. I wonder, man, he should watch Kingdom of Heaven. That's a great movie. Mm. I love that movie. Well, a really, really long version is good.
Well, I'm sorry. He has actually seen a movie this month, so it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while.
Until he can get around to it. Anyway, this sucks. I thought this was trash.
Man.
I regret wasting time watching that other guy's videos.
I bet he loved Benicio Del Toro in one battle after another, though.
The former Utah cop?
I would have gone with Alex, but yeah, the former Utah cop, too.
Yeah, they all love him.
Benicio was too good.
Yeah. So we'll be back with another episode and check in on how Alex is continuing what is a deeply destructive stretch of time.
Yeah.
And I think it is very funny the way he's still not recognizing that Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, isn't bluffing.
Yeah.
And how hard that pill is going to be to swallow. Mm. But, hey, we'll see how he does it. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.